Hey, Brian. Congratulations. Gene Fournette with the Florida Times-Union. When you look at this team's receiver room, the experience that you have already there with Gabe Davis, Christian Kirk, including tight end Evan Engram, and you look that Trevor has already been in the league for 3 years, what are your expectations as a rookie given all the mentorship that you have both in the receiver room and in the starting quarterback?
My expectations are to just come in, earn the trust of the quarterback, earn the trust of my teammates, coaching staff, to know like when opportunity presents itself, I'm gonna go out there and give my all, go out there and make the play. I would say that was my expectations coming in.
As a follow-up, could you just talk a little bit about your level of excitement? You obviously, when the draft's happening, you have no idea where you're going, and all of a sudden you land on this particular team, and you are obviously familiar with Coach Peterson a little bit, right? And what the Jaguars have done and what they have. What was your level of excitement that Jacksonville was your destination?
I was super excited to be on my way to Jacksonville, just being able to share that moment with my parents, having my family there. It was a great experience for me. It was a great time just to have them there with me. Jacksonville was somewhere I felt like I could fit in at, so I was very excited.
Hi, Mike Draco with ESPN. Pretty good legacy of LSU receivers in the NFL, especially recently. Kind of feel like you kind of have to live up to that?
I'm just trying to be myself. I don't feel like I have to live up to no expectations. I'm just going to come out there, work hard, do what I can do to the best of my ability. So, yes, sir.
I think people are wondering what number will you wear or do you want to wear?
You know what number I want to wear. But as of right now, I'll be number 80.
Hey, Brian. Jamal St. Cyr with News for Jax. What was the first interaction you had with the Jaguars, and when did you maybe get a feel that Doug Peterson and Trent were interested in bringing you here to Jacksonville?
My first interaction was a combine. I had a formal meeting. That went well to me. Then I came on a top 30 visit. And, I left here pretty confident, knowing that I had did the best that I can do. So I would say that, yep.
Hey, Brian. Chris Porter from First Coast News. Welcome to Duval. Last night I heard you talking about you being a man of faith. Mm-hmm. You had an opportunity today to walk through the facilities, see them a little bit. Can you just walk me through what it was like today actually being here in Jacksonville and understanding this is my new home?
Yeah, it's a great feeling just being able to experience this with my parents, my family. It's a great feeling just to know that I'll be here in Jacksonville not too long. Just this is where I'll be staying. Just amazing feeling.
Also, I know that you are a two-sport star. You could ball. You were one of Louisiana's top basketball players and really didn't take football seriously until midway through your high school career. When did you know football is your sport?
Football has been my sport since I was 6 years old. I took a year off my ninth grade year just to get stronger. I came in high school. I was a little leaner. So I was just took a year off to get a little stronger. But football has always been my main sport. Yes, sir.
Hey, Brian. Demetrius Harvey with the Florida Times-Union. Mm-hmm. Could you just talk about your relationship with your dad and sort of growing up? You know, I know he was focused a lot on basketball, but just in terms of his athleticism and how it sort of, you know, dropped down to you and then now you're sort of moving up into the NFL.
With my dad, I got a great relationship. I wouldn't say he focused more on basketball than anything. He really left it up to me, whatever I wanted to do. He was support me 100%. So he was whatever I wanted to do, he'll be there for me. He's gonna continue to do that for me.
Hi, Brian. Mark Long with AP. Can you just take us through last night after we spoke to you? What was the night like for you? A little bit of whirlwind, or did it calm down at some point? And then what was it like flying in today on the private jet? And you know, how cool is that of an experience?
Night was pretty long. Had a lot of interviews and stuff. But once I got back to the hotel and got back to the room and chilled out a little bit, I was able to go to sleep, get a couple hours of sleep. Came in this morning on the private jet. That was my first time experiencing being on a private jet. It was amazing. So yeah.
And is that the closest thing to teal you had with you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
JP Shadrick with Jaguars Radio for Brian and Coach. So there's a lot of talk around here about football IQ and the importance of being a smart player. How, in the discussions with the Jaguars, Brian, how much did that come up, and what did you have to show to them? And then, Coach, what stood out about that process? Brian, go ahead.
It came up taking the little tests or whatever, how they test you, trying to see how you remember things, how you learn things. So I would say it came up during that. I would say my football IQ is one of the biggest things that helps me out when I'm out there playing.
Coach? Yeah, it's the things we saw, you know, on tape, and when you talk to coaches and people close to Brian, you know, the level of comfort there and understanding his offense, understanding, you know, his role in that offense, being able to run just about every route, you know, in the route tree. And, you know, I said last night there's going to be some different routes that we're going to ask him to do and utilize his skill set that way. And it's going to take some time. It's going to take some new learning, obviously, with a new system. But very confident, you know, we've got, you know, a rookie mini camp coming up and then the rest of the offseason program. So, you know, we're going to do everything we can to get him caught up to speed as fast as we can and get him plugged in.
Yeah, Doug, can you talk about what Brian's skills will do in terms of creating room, ideally underneath and things like that, and the pressure that his skills are going to put on the opponent?
Yeah, I think the number one thing you see is the speed, right, on film. And you see the ability to get behind secondary and the second and third level defenders. And that's big, obviously, in our league. And then, you know, again, I mentioned last night, too, there's going to be some different coverages that he's going to see, you know, here at the NFL level. And a lot of teams try to keep that, you know, at bay. They try not to get receivers behind you. And, you know, but it's our job as coaches to make sure that we create opportunities to do that and utilize that speed. And so what that does then is opens up the second level area. That's where, you know, those, you know, 12, 15 to 20, 25-yard ranges are really important. And that's where you can spend a lot of time and make a lot of catches in those areas. And what we saw on tape, you know, with Brian and being able to, you know, separate at the top of the route and you know, use that athleticism and use his strength and his size, you know, to create some openness there in that second level.
Brian, congratulations. I'm Alessandra Pomperan with News for Jax. Has it sank in yet that you were a first-round draft pick, now an NFL athlete?
Yeah, it's getting there. as the times go by, it's sinking in more and more.
Brent Martineau with Action Sports Jax. Trent, how much of this was putting together kind of a piece of the puzzle? And with Gabe Davis' acquisition and now Brian, the big play capability of this offense, you know, coming off last year, was that something you guys targeted that you needed to do better?
Yeah, I think yes to all that. I mean, it was certainly something that we targeted within the system. You know, again, as you talk to the coach, we're looking for ideal fits, and he's an ideal fit, you know, for what the coaching staff is looking for what we feel we need to expand offensively. So all of the, I mean, in a culture fit, like we talk about, you know, bringing in the type of guys that fit into this locker room, fit into this community, and, you know, he checked all the boxes that way.
One more follow, if you don't mind. Just looking at tonight, what's the next few hours like for you guys? You have capital. Are you going to be sliding around? Do you want to slide around, or do you anticipate staying put?
Well, again, I mean, we've already reached out. There's a chance we do some things to try to move up. There's no guarantees that that's going to happen. We feel good at the pick we're at that we're going to get a good football player. So if the opportunity arises and we can move up, we'll do so. If we stand pat, we'll do that, and there's a chance we move back. You know, everything's on the table right now. We feel the board is in good shape. We like a lot of the options that we have in front of us, and we'll just see how the early round goes.
Trent, you've experienced a lot of drafts. Last night was unique in that the first 14 offensive guys. What did you make of that? And do you and Doug feel like that's maybe where we're headed as a league with, you know, everything being so offensive?
offensive. That question was offensive. No, I think it's, you know, every draft takes on its own identity. You know, and this one obviously was slanted toward the offensive side. I think as you move further along here in the second round, you're probably going to see a lot of defensive guys start to come off the board. You know, it's a need-based league right now, not that it always hasn't been. I think there's value in this second round. There's going to be a lot of guys that come out of this second round that end up starting in the National Football League. So I wouldn't discount this day. This is an important day for us, important day for a lot of teams around the league.
All right, last two, Jamal and then
Gene. Hey, Trent, Doug, this is for either of you. Sorry. How much does – we were talking about Brian being a basketball player. How much does a guy being a two-sport athlete matter in the evaluation process? I think this is the third year in a row that your first-round pick has also played basketball in high school. How much does that account as you kind of try and figure out who these guys are and the athletic profile?
You know, I like guys that play multiple sports, you know, growing up. I just think it makes them more of a well-rounded athlete, you know, and different skill sets, right? But at the same time, I think it benefits the player. And it just gives them, you know, that athleticism you're looking for. So I'm all for guys that you know, play multiple sports, whether it's, you know, big guys that wrestle or things of that nature. I mean, you know, he's not a wrestler, but a dual sport guy that, you know, or a track guy, you know, I mean, it's just a different skill set that turns them into really good athletes.
This is for Trent. Trent, you said last week that if the talent level was pretty close, that you would maybe favor a little bit more need over. Oh, in that situation,
yeah.
Obviously you had great need at cornerback, great need at receiver. What was kind of the tipping point for taking Brian? Was it the talent separation, or was it in any way need? Because it seems like the need was pretty much the same. So was it a combination of
everything? You know, and again, when you look at Brian and this, you know, where he's been, the type of young man he is, you know. The ability to check all the boxes as far as what we're looking for in players. You know, there were a lot of good football players on the board. He happens to be one of them. You know, not to discredit anybody else, but at 17, like we said last night, you know, Brian would have been the pick, and he ended up being the pick at 23. So we're just fortunate to have him and looking forward to getting him on the grass.
How nervous were you as the picks are going by, hoping that Brian would not?
I don't get nervous. I had to settle coach down. No. You know, there's always some angst, right, when you trade back and you know, you're looking at a board. We just felt really good about the way the board looked. Like I said last night, the teams that were in between 17 and 23 and their needs, you know, you can't control someone else trading in between you. But you just do the best you can to analyze the situation, and you hope for the best once you make the trade.
Thank you.